Lesson number 7, the Sinai Covenant number 1, Redemption and Covenant. For the next 2 weeks, we are going to study the covenants made at Sinai. And you will recollect that in the introduction, I mentioned that there was some uncertainty, some quarters, about the covenants. It is because of the Sinaitic covenant that these problems arise. And may I again request that you carefully read Patriarchs and Prophets, page 53, and the chapter in which page 370 of Patriarchs and Prophets appears. 370 is the key. Let's review a moment the difference between the Old and the New Covenant. The Old Covenant, made with the angels, made with the dwellers on Eden, consisted of the declaration, obey and live, disobey and die. God had created the angels, the unfallen worlds, and Adam and Eve with a built-in ability to do what he required them to do. That's the essence of the Creator who is love. He did not create them inefficient so that they had to disobey. If they exercised their will, they could have obeyed. The angel Gabriel chose to exercise his will, he still obeys. The angel Lucifer chose not to exercise his will to obey, but to disobey, and he fell. The old covenant, obey and live, disobey and die, can be carried out only by unfallen beings. As soon as a being falls, he loses his built-in ability, and he can no longer obey. He has sold himself to sin. Another power controls him, another philosophy controls him. Therefore, God immediately put into operation a plan that was eternal. A covenant that was eternal. Nothing surprises God. He has to jump into no emergency without warning. All things are open before him. So he had already formulated a covenant by which Jesus Christ would be the substitute for man, die in his stead, give him a second chance, provide him with grace, give him a gift of faith, and enabled him once again to face the covenant requirement, obey and live. Disobey and die. That is the second covenant. Now the first covenant must have occurred before the second, or English is meaningless. The old covenant must be older than the new. The new covenant only functions with fallen people. It's the covenant of grace. It was not needed before the fall. It was formulated in eternity, as everything is formulated in eternity, in the mind of God. God made the old covenant with Adam and Eve, then he made the new covenant with Adam and Eve. Noah accepted him. Noah realized that there was no possibility of his doing what is right. He exercised faith, so God entered the new covenant relationship with Abraham, with Noah. God made the new covenant relationship with Abraham when Abraham saw that by himself he could do nothing. He acknowledged that the old covenant couldn't function. But through the new covenant, he became the father of the faithful. Now the children of Israel had been in Egypt for hundreds of years. They had lost their sense of the sinfulness of sin, of the holiness of God, of the importance of obedience to his will, of the weakness and depravity of their own hearts. Exalted and thrilled with the wonders of the Exodus, rejoicing in the miracle of the Red Sea crossing, amazed at the food that rained on them from heaven and at the water that gushed out of a rock, came panting in joy and excitement to the base of Sinai, there to be instructed and re-educated by God. Now, this is the introduction to these two lessons. You have seen what I did to Egypt, the Lord says, how I bore you. Now, if you will obey my covenant, you shall be my possession, for all the earth is mine. And immediately the people responded, all that the Lord has said, we will do and be obedient. Now the Lord entered into the old covenant with Israel at Sinai. And this is where the problem often arises. Superficial students of the book of Exodus and the story of the wandering overlook the fact that there were two distinct covenants entered into by God with Israel at Sinai. If you will read the Spirit of Promise Prophecy comments on page 370 particularly, we will see this. And the question is, why did God enter into this old covenant relationship with Israel when he knew that they couldn't obey it? The reason was, they didn't know that they couldn't obey it. They had forgotten the weakness of their hearts. They had forgotten the impotence of their will. They had forgotten the exceeding holiness of God. And so they readily entered into the covenant relationship. But as Paul says in Hebrews chapter 8, finding fault with them, this covenant they break. Then when they realized the weakness and sinfulness of their own hearts, then they were ready to enter into the new covenant relationship with God. Now this old covenant relationship that God made with Israel, he went through all the motions. He ratified it with blood. He had a mediator. He did everything, taking it for granted, that they could obey. And then Moses was summoned up to the mount, and 6 weeks later he discovered that they had gone into apostasy. They had broken that covenant. They couldn't do it. Then God entered into the covenant of grace with them, and they were in a learning readiness state by which they could learn the weakness of their own hearts and realize all the provisions that God had made for them in the sanctuary, illustrative of the plan of salvation, in the atonement and the mediation of Jesus Christ, of whom Moses was a type and example. Part number one, Yahweh, God of the Sinai Covenant. Yahweh is the judge. He is the criterion. He is the I am what I am. He is the absolute standard. I will take you to my people. I will be your God. I am Yahweh. I brought you out from the burdens of Egypt. So he is showing them that he is a redemptive God ready to do. He rescued, he saved, he ransomed them from Egypt. I am what I am. Now this revelation was made at the burning bush. A burning bush. The bush should have been burned up, but this wasn't. Humanity should have been destroyed by being infused with divinity, but it was not. The burning bush is a symbol of the incarnation. God was in Christ. Christ was in the bush. God did not consume the humanity of Christ. And God's revelation there of himself in the bush is the one who can take hold of humanity, infuse humanity, transform humanity, and make it impregnable. Part number two. Israel, the loved and the chosen and the redeemed. Because I loved you, I chose you, I brought you out by my presence, a personal involvement. He wasn't remote. We get the same picture in Ezekiel 16 from 1 to 14. God found an unwanted, filthy little foundling, baby girl, rescued, nurtured, patiently waited, proposed marriage, married. This is what God did to Israel. The Lord loved and therefore chose. Part number three. Israel, partner in God's covenant. If you will obey, if you will keep, you shall be my possession among all the people. Here is the if. If. If you do something, I will make it a covenant. And so, the Lord told Moses to come up into the mount, and he gave him two tables of stone. And you will recollect that Moses had barely reached the valley below when he smashed those two covenants. That was a symbolic act, that the law had been broken by the people that had entered into the old covenant relationship with God. They could not keep them. And the Lord entered, went through all the motions, made Israel go through all the motions as a teaching device for Israel. It was a didactic entry into the old covenant relationship that demonstrated to Israel they were in an impossible position. They could only break God's law. They could not keep it. Now in the new covenant that they were much more ready to enter into, they were given a second chance. They were beholden to God for His mercy and His compassion. And God said to Moses, now you bring two tables of stone. You bring them up to the mount. And I will write upon them the same law. Now as Paul looked at this with inspired insight, as Jeremiah had looked at it, this is Hebrews 8, God says, I will write my law on the fleshly tables of your heart. What is the heart? Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. A new heart is a new mind, a new ability to think and do and plan. There was no law written on the stony heart. Now God says, I will change that heart into a heart of flesh, a new creation, and I will write upon it my law. Now you shall be to me a people, and I will be your God. So in the old covenant, God wrote the law and gave it to them. They couldn't keep it. They needed God to enter into a new relationship with Him so that He could write the law in their hearts, and they could become a new people. We will need to read very carefully the two covenants that God entered into with Israel at Sinai. The old covenant, which was a teaching device, and the new covenant, which was a living provision that He was making for them. Part number 5. Israel's response to God's covenant. To the old covenant, hastily, brashly, ignorantly, all that the Lord has said we will do. But they were doing it in their own strength. They couldn't do it. And then when they realized that, they had to repeat the same thing. All that the Lord will do, we will do and be obedient. But now in their minds, was an acceptance of divine grace, a realization of gratitude for a second chance, a realization of praise that God had given them faith. So both the covenants, obey and live, disobey and buy, both the covenants need a human response. All that the Lord has said we will do and be obedient. But the difference between the two is man, fallen man, can only think he can obey it with his own power, but cannot. But fallen man, by the graced-in power of God, is enabled to do it. God went through all the motions to teach them their own inability, that they might be ready to accept His divine provisions. Part number 6, the Sinai covenant ratified. When God entered into the old covenant relationship with Israel, He ratified it with blood, goat, bull. But they broke it. When they entered into a new covenant relationship, there was still blood of bulls and goats. But now they looked at these bulls and goats, not as their own gifts, as their own provision for ratification, but as God's gifts, as signs and symbols pointing to the Lamb, to the blood of the new covenant, to the blood of better sacrifices than these. While they broke the covenant, the old one, ratified by blood, they were to remember that they might keep, if they will, if they chose, through divine grace, through their faith, that was a gift of God, all the covenant provisions of the new covenant ratified by the Lamb of God.